If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. And if you would, please stand. Isaiah chapter 55. He says, "Ho, everyone, listen. Everyone that can hear me, listen to what I have to say." So what he's saying here, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And ye that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and make your soul hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Let's pray. Father, we just come before you again this morning. Lord, we thank you, Father. Lord, for your presence here. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity that we had to come and freely worship you, Father. Lord, to just worship your name because you are worthy this morning, Father. Lord, to just pour our hearts out before you, Father. Allow you to minister to us, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word that we have already heard, Lord. Just the beauty, Father. Lord, of the new birth, Father, of baptism, Father, of being regenerated, Father, through your Spirit, Father, and by your word. God, we thank you for that this morning. And Lord, I just pray, Father, as we continue, Lord, to look into your word here, Father, into this passage, oh God, I pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, Father. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, if there are those here that are thirsty this morning, that you would fill them, Father. Those that are hungry, oh God, Father, may you give them meat, Father. God, I just pray, oh Father, Lord, that you would just minister your presence to each heart, Father. Lord, in every wherever we're at, Father, whatever circumstance we're going through, Father, whatever we're facing in life, Father, we know that you meet all of our needs, Father, this morning. And God, I pray, Father, may we continue to keep our focus and attention turned to you, Father, and allow you to speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Read through this chapter a couple weeks ago, and I think before that I had seen, and I was paging through the folder here at church one Sunday, and came across this song that is out of this chapter, and I just read through it as we were sitting here. It just really ministered to me, and so I began to kind of look over the chapter and meditate on it, and just felt led to share it with us this morning. But, you know, he starts out here, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty," and he's like, pay attention, listen. If you're thirsty, if there's not just a full completeness, if there's a longing in your heart, listen, because I have something for you. I have a truth for you. Do not be distracted. I'd like to read through a couple other passages that speak of the same idea here of thirsting, being hungry and thirsty. First of all is Isaiah chapter 44. Verses 1 to 4. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What's it say? For they might find what they're looking for. It says they shall be filled. And pay attention to that, because these verses are promises. If we hunger and thirst after God, He will meet us. He will fill us. He will fulfill all that we need. John chapter 4, verse 14 says, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And then John 7, 37 to 39. In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So here we see, not only does he give us a drink, but he says, He that believeth on me, rivers of living water will flow out. A continual flowing, a continual feeding, and feeding others, a flowing out of what God has for us. And then Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to read verses 1 to 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the heaven and the earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. So listen, he says, These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. I'm going to stop right there. And then Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And there's more. As I was reading here, I had to remember the passage that Brother Bert Clendenin brings out, where it says, even in drought, my soul shall be satisfied. Where it talks about when we walk with God, that even in drought, my soul shall be satisfied. Even though things are maybe dry around us, or things are not going, you know, it's difficult. It's hot, it's dry, it's there's trials, we're in the midst of trials. He says, my soul will be satisfied. And the promise that we have here this morning is that if we thirst, if we hunger and thirst, if we are thirsty, God is here to meet that need. God is here to satisfy that hunger and that thirst. He is present. He is longing. He is willing if we come thirsty. And that's what I want to challenge us with this morning is, where do we find ourselves? You know, do we find ourselves? Let's go back here and look here a little bit more at Isaiah 55, because he says, "Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come to the waters. And even if you don't have any money, come buy milk, come buy and eat, buy wine and milk without money and without price." In other words, God is saying, "I'm not looking for you to perform something for me to give this to you. I just want you to come. Come, if you're hungering after me, if you're thirsting after me, if your desire is after me, just come. Come and I will give you what you need." He says, "Why do you spend your time and resources on things that don't give spiritual nourishment?" Why do we spend time and resources on things that don't satisfy? He says, "That which satisfieth not. Hearken unto me diligently." Listen. Listen, I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. I want to give you the truth that will satisfy your soul. He says, "Hearken unto me diligently." That's not just casually listening or casually, you know, walking along and, "Well, if God wants to say something, He can tell me." He says, "Hearken diligently unto me." Listen, come. Come into my presence. Hearken diligently unto me and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. In other words, he says, come, listen. Be diligent with what I tell you. When I speak, walk in obedience. When I give you something, do it. Walk in faithfulness. Walk in obedience. And I will satisfy your soul. He says, "I will make an everlasting promise to you." He talks about the covenant, the sure mercies of David, making that covenant and the example that he had there with David, walking with David. I mean, have you ever read through the life of David and just yearned to have that communication that David did with God? I mean, everything he faced, he asked God and got it. I mean, at least what was recorded. I mean, just every situation after situation after situation, he'd go to God and God give him an answer. He'd go to God, God give him an answer. Church, I believe that's how God wants us to walk. That's how we can walk in communication and communion with Him. If we diligently hearken unto His voice and we're seeking, we're thirsting after Him, He will speak to us as clearly as He did to David. And verse 5 here has just been just a tremendous challenge to me here the last couple of days as I've been looking into this. And even, a couple of weeks ago when I looked at it, it stood out to me. He says, "Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for He hath glorified thee." And this was really on my heart last night as we were driving around praying for the community and specifically against the trafficking and things like that. But just, you know, praying for the darkness that is against the darkness that is in our community, just very, very close in our community here. And just in many different aspects of that darkness. But I guess it was just really convicting to me. He says, "Nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God." And I just, the picture of us walking so closely with God and walking in His glory, walking in that life, walking in that our soul being satisfied, that others will come to us. They will be drawn to us. It says they will run. Nations will run to us. You know, we and I'm not saying it's wrong. I think it's good if we focus on going out to them. But is there an aspect here, a further aspect that God wants to bring His church to where those that are hungry, thirsty, will be drawn, will be coming to us. And you know, perhaps we would be even overwhelmed with how many are just coming and just seeking to know the truth. Is there an aspect here that God would have us to walk in? That we're, maybe we're not seeing it because we're spending our money on that which does not satisfy. Spending our time on that which does not bring forth nourishment, that which does not bring forth fruit. We're putting our energies into something that does not satisfy our soul. Are we satisfied this morning? And I, you know, there's a place, I believe, of, you know, where we can be healthily satisfied and yet healthily dissatisfied for more of God. But I guess just especially this morning, wanna speak to those here this morning that have a longing within to that is not fulfilled, that is not satisfied, that is not that there's a thirst. And or maybe also I want to speak to those that if you don't have that thirst, ask God for it. Because he says here, everyone that is thirsty are the ones that I'm going to fill. Those that are thirsty, those that are hungering are the ones that are going to be satisfied, are the ones that are going to be filled. People and nations will be drawn to me through you. Then he goes on, he says, my thoughts are so much higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. You cannot even fathom what I can accomplish in a life that seeks after me with all of its heart. I believe that's what he's saying here. He says, excuse me. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. How many of us can really fully comprehend how much higher the heavens are? How much bigger it is than we are? I mean, we've seen demonstrations. I believe it was Joshua did that demonstration up here. And just the magnitude of the heavens and the glory of God. You know, it literally blows our minds, I believe, when we try to figure out that vastness. And he says, that's how much higher my thoughts are than your thoughts. My vision for my people, my heart for you as my people, for my church, for my chosen. You know, that's so much. You know, we sometimes think how awesome it would be if, you know, if God would move in a certain way, and yet he says, my thoughts for that are so much beyond. But he says, just come. Come thirst after me. Come and be filled. Come and be filled with my presence, with my spirit. Come and enter in to what I have. And it will be so much more than anything we can imagine. My word is more sure and steadfast than anything you can compare it to. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And church, these are promises, but they, I believe, it all points back to that verse number one. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come. Come and receive of what I have. Come and this is the life. This is all that we're reading down through here is what follows. Is what follows those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Those that hunger and thirst after being filled with more of God. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. When we walk in a spirit of humility and are hungering and thirsting for more of God, we will be full of joy. We will be led in peace. All of creation will be alive and glorious around us. Have you noticed that in your life? When the presence of God is just really precious and moving and working in your life, how all of creation is it's glorious. I mean, you step outside and it's just, all of creation just shouts the glory of God. And you know, while we know that the trees don't have hands, yet there's just, he's saying, when there's a people that follows after me, all of creation, a person, just even an individual, there, all of creation comes alive when we're walking with a just a true heart after God and a spirit of humility and hungering and thirsting for more of God and walking full of His Spirit. And then he says, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. In other words, you will be fruitful. There will be fruit coming out of our lives when we hunger and thirst after God, when we're allowing Him to fill us, and that fruit, that river, where He says those rivers of living water will flow out. It will be fruitful. Our lives will be fruitful. The fir tree, the myrtle tree. I didn't really look those up. I know the myrtle tree was leaves that were used for healing. And, you know, I love that picture. You know, healing will flow out of us. We will minister to the brokenhearted. We will minister to lives around us. We will minister healing and life. And then he says, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And I love that, how may our focus is not, you know, that we, you know, get to prosper in all these things. Our focus is that it shall be to the Lord for a name. As we walk in these things, as we walk hunger and thirst, as we are filled by Him, as people are drawn to us, as we bring forth fruit, as His Word prospers, as we share it, we go out with joy. We led forth with peace. You know, that we love that. That's an awesome place to walk and to live, and that's good. It's right that we enjoy being joyful and that we enjoy the peace of God. But it's not for our sake. He does not give us peace and joy for us to simply enjoy it. He gives it, says, it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I just love that picture, that focus, that we can come. Do we come this morning? Are we thirsty? Are we coming before Him and receiving what He has freely? Or do we find ourselves in verse 2, where He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Where are our energies? Where are we putting our focus? Does it satisfy? Does it bring life? Let's turn to Joel chapter 2. If you can find it, it's a pretty small book. It's right before Amos, right after Hosea. Joel chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 12 to, I think it's to the end. No, yeah, to the end. So a picture of a prophecy here of God's heart for His people, for His church, what He longs to pour out upon us as His people. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And this was right after The Lord, through Joel, had just really brought some rebuke to the children of Israel for having turned from him. And so then he comes in here. Therefore also, now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So here we see a prophecy of what was pointing forward to come. And we see the fulfillment of quite a bit of this chapter and Peter referenced to this on the day of Pentecost when God poured out his spirit upon all flesh. He poured out His Spirit upon those in the upper room, first of all, and as they went out and preached the Word, and as others came and believed, were baptized, He poured out. He says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And that one there, I'm not taking away from the others, but I just want to really encourage you, young men, to seek the Lord to walk in His vision. And I'm not necessarily saying, it can be this, I'm not taking away from, you know, actual visions, dreams and visions, but know the vision of God for your life. Be men with vision, all of us men. May we be men with vision, with purpose, with vision for our families, vision for our communities, vision for our churches, vision for what God has for us. And I believe that will come out of that thirst. Coming back again. If we hunger and thirst, if we are thirsty, if we are longing for more of God, He's not going to just leave us there in a state of longing. He's not going to just leave us there in a state of dissatisfaction or of no peace or of, you know, no joy. He will fill us with His Spirit. He will fill us with His peace. He will fill us with His joy. He will fill us with His vision, His passion, His compassion for the lost. May we walk in that. May we seek to be thirsting after righteousness. Just a few questions I'd like to leave with us this morning is, where are you in your life? Looking at this, what we've looked at this morning, where are you? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Are you fruitful? Do you have complete peace in where you're walking? And praise God if you do. I'm not taking that's praise God. He longs for us to walk in that and to walk in that together, to share in that together, to minister to one another as we walk in that. What are your pursuits? Are you thirsting more? Are you thirsting for more of God? Or are you spending your time, your energy, perhaps your money, on things that do not bring eternal satisfaction? What are you investing in? And I'm not necessarily talking about monetary investments. I'm really not at all talking about monetary investments. What are we investing in? What are you investing your life in? Your thoughts, your time? Are you living your life in such a way that God is able to pour out His Spirit on your life and fill you with His glory so that His name be lifted up? And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Is that the testimony of our lives this morning? Is that the testimony of your life, of my life? Is my life a testimony, an everlasting testimony of the name of the Lord, that His name be glorified, that His name be lifted up?